Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu. Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy, committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. Rob Ferret will be back on Monday. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a new report says women are still severely underrepresented in media, from sports anchors to film directors.
And on our regular segment on Food Friday, we challenge some common wisdom about which wine to drink with fish.
But first, the Women's Media Center just issued the results of a study that shows that women are still largely underrepresented in media.
Kelly McBride is with us now to talk about the study. She's a senior faculty for ethics at the Poynter Institute and co-editor of the New Ethics of Journalism. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So according to the 2014 Status of Women in the U.S. Media Report just issued by the Women's Media Center, women are still grossly underrepresented in media. Can you give us an overall picture of what the study found?
Well, sure. The study found that particularly in management and in sports journalism, that women are horribly underrepresented. And interestingly enough, they come out of the colleges at a much higher rate than men. And that's true for almost all undergraduate degrees. But in journalism and communications, it's particularly true. They enter the profession at higher rates than men, and then they trail off as they go through the ranks.
So does that seem to indicate that maybe the reason that men are so much more prevalent in media is that these are older people, that they've been in the jobs longer, and that the women just haven't moved up yet?
No, this has been going on too long for that to be the case. Women surpassed men as the bulk of J school graduates too long ago, more than a generation ago. So it can't be that. This is a leadership problem in media.
What do you mean by a leadership problem?
So there's a lot of different reasons why women leave the profession, we haven't spent a lot of time in media companies trying to figure out what those are and trying to figure out how we could change that. And this is true of other professions as well. I mean, tech companies have similar problems, although they don't have the same pipeline of women coming into the profession that journalism does. So I guess they're maybe less culpable, but there's lots of reasons that women don't succeed. There seems to be a bias placed on male writers over female writers. I mean, look at some of the pinnacle publications that we have, like The New Yorker or Wired magazine. You see male bylines at a much greater rate than you see female bylines. Why is that? Well, we don't actually know the answer to that question. But there are all these benchmarks of success in media where women just underperform, and we don't know if it's because they're not getting the opportunity, because the way we judge them is unfair. We don't value the female contribution as much as the male contribution. So it's complicated.
It's interesting that it seems to be so true across the board, from the directors of films, the huge proportion of which are men directors, to a statistic like over a three-month period, 82% of film reviews are written by men as well. Why is it so true, you know, just uniformly in general?
Right. I mean, book reviews are the same way. And if you look at the people who run newsrooms in the country, it's the same thing. Why is that so uniform? Because men are controlling the decisions about who gets to do those things, and it's not a priority for them to diversify. So they're choosing, you know, like if you are picking people to do film reviews, you're picking them based on the criteria that you have, and you're likely a man. So the criteria that you grew up with is is going to reflect your own biases. And until you deliberately get out of that mindset, it becomes this self-reinforcing cycle.
Do the findings seem to show that women are losing ground or that they're just treading water, holding steady?
You know, it really depends on how you slice it. But to the extent that, I mean, when you compare the number of people who graduate from journalism school or communications degrees, that number is becoming increasingly more female. So to the extent that that is failing to represent in leadership positions in media, you could say that women are losing ground.
I want to look at one especially low point, and this is the field of sports journalism, with the vast majority of reporters and anchors still white and still male. And given the increasing numbers of women athletes and women fans, why this number here? Why hasn't this changed?
So, I mean, this is particularly complicated because the world of sports journalism has exploded in terms of the people who are working in it. However, the audience in sports journalism, depending how you slice it, is predominantly male, particularly the audience that brings in a lot of revenue. So ESPN's audience is predominantly male, and when you look at how many hours people spend, not only is it more male, but men spend more time with ESPN products than women do. So that also tends to influence how they create their content and how they do their hiring. A lot of people in the sports journalism world are so hyper aware of this because they are topping out in their audience and they need to build new audience. Where's that audience going to come from? It's obviously going to come from the female population and the non-English speaking population. So the people who run sports companies, sports media companies, are super aware of this and they're trying to figure it out. But even then, they have this constant argument about, are women fans different? Do women fans just like good sports or do they like female sports? And that's a legitimate conversation to have, and one that if you pick the first answer that women fans are the same and they just like good sports, you're still going to give them male sports because professional sports are predominantly male in our country. The WNBA is really the only successful professional female sports league. Has a fraction of the audience that the NBA has, and certainly a fraction of the revenue that the NBA has. The NFL and the Major League Baseball don't even have a female equivalent. So in those cases, the revenue and the money is still wrapped up in the male-dominated sports and the male-dominated audience. So it almost makes more sense that the sports world would be this way because that the sports media world would be this way because the sports world is this way. It makes less sense that that the rest of the media world would be this way.
Well, another troubling aspect of this report is the fact that the percentage of women of color in newspaper and magazine newsrooms has dropped overall. The fact that minorities continue to comprise only 12 to 13% of the newsroom staff. So what's going on there?
Well, in most newsrooms, the size of the staff has declined. Newsrooms have hit hard economic times over the last 5 years and have shrunk, some of them by up to 50%. And people of color have disproportionately taken that hit. Part of it is because people of color had overall less experience. The gains that had been made for people of color in newsrooms were relatively recent. And part of it is because newsrooms have less bandwidth to focus on the recruiting and the promotion and the training that you need to keep people of color. So if they can get another job at more money, they're going to do that because they're not getting the encouragement to stay on the jobs that they have.
So what are the effects of gender discrimination in unlevel playing field like this in the media? What does it do to the coverage that the world gets?
Well, ultimately, it affects the content. Because if you don't have diversity in the staff that creates the content, they're not going to think of the ideas. They're not going to contact the sources. There have been other studies that show that the number of sources quoted in front page articles in the New York Times are predominantly male. Well, that's obviously related to the people who are creating the content. So it has these far-reaching effects. We don't discuss issues that might be important to people who are not white men. You don't see professional experts who are not white men quoted in stories. So it really plays out in this ripple effect to significant consequence to the entire society.
Kelly, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today.
You're welcome.
That was Kelly McBride, a senior faculty for ethics at the Poynter Institute. She's also co-editor of the recently released book called The New Ethics of Journalism.
Up next is Food Friday, where we'll bust some old taboos about fish and wine pairings. But first, Kristen Durst joins us from the newsroom with a look at these headlines.